Good afternoon. This is WHFR Dearborn. You're listening to the program called Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway. And today, my special guest is Bill McGettigan, and he is a shamanic hypnotist. Good morning, or I should say good afternoon, Bill. How are you?
I'm very good.
Good. And this is our new time. It used to be Saturday mornings at 10 o'clock. Now we're on Tuesday afternoons at 1 o'clock, so it's going to be a new time for everybody. So, once again, thanks for doing the show. I appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Okay. And now, what is a shamanic hypnotist?
Well, I was trained in medical and dental hypnotism, and the standard way of operating is to, they would get a diagnosis for a particular problem or a disease, or stop smoking's popular, or, you know, any...
Right, lose weight.
Or say you got diabetes, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And they would do research on how your subconscious interacts with this problem, if it's a physical problem or whatever, and then write a script or find a script that someone else has written. And after inducing a trance, they would read the script or memorize it and reproduce it and depend on that for the healing process. I started reading about shamanism, mostly on the internet, although there's some printed material out there that I've read. And it seemed to me an obvious kind of thing that the shaman is traveling in the spirit world and interacting with the beings and what have you, the environment there, and getting, of course, incredible results from the accounts that you read. And I thought you could adapt this to hypnosis
mm-hmm.
in a therapeutic setting, and it worked better than I could imagine.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's almost just magical.
Mm-hmm. Now, how did you get started, though? I mean, what was it that really piqued your interest in this particular area?
In shamanism or hypnotism?
Well, both.
Well, I've always been interested in hypnotism and the esoteric information and where religions come from and that kind of thing. I read extensively Edgar Cayce material when I was a teenager.
Mm-hmm.
You know, been into all that stuff.
Right.
And, of course, he was... a product of hypnosis. If it wasn't for hypnosis, he wouldn't have had the kind of career he had.
Right.
And but I didn't do anything about it until I'm 59 now. I was probably about 55. I hypnotized my granddaughter.
Mm-hmm.
And it worked great. I mean, she did a past life thing. It was like, it's kind of stuff you read about.
Mm-hmm.
And then I decided, well, maybe I should get some training.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's always a good thing.
Right. So, well, and I'm glad I did. I took, they call it the Infinity Institute, and they ran a series of three different type classes, and I took them all and learned a lot, and I especially learned a lot about what I didn't want to do.
Mm-hmm.
So it was really valuable from that aspect, too.
Right. Yeah. So what are some of the things you learned?
For one thing, as soon as you start talking about hypnosis, you're talking about there's a dark side.
Mm-hmm.
There's mind control, brainwashing, the kind of things that popped up in our culture with the Korean War when the captured prisoners came back or didn't want to come back. Some of them, became communists or whatever,
mm-hmm.
and the term brainwashing came into use and. And, of course, this is directly related to hypnotism. And, I don't want to get involved in that, to say the least, you know.
Right. Yeah. We'll just skip over that.
Well, no, I don't want to skip over because it's incredibly important. Because, I mean, you know, you take a class in hypnosis from almost anyone or even just read about it, and the first thing you're going to say is that it's 100% safe. And that's true. You know, if you're dealing, if you know who you're dealing with, but there is such a thing as covert hypnosis, which is not so safe,
mm-hmm.
and you're being bombarded with it on a minute-by-minute basis. You know, it's in our culture, it's called, for one thing, television. You know?
Well, that's true. It can be hypnotizing at times,
and radio can do it too. And it's part of our culture that's going on at a pretty good clip. Yeah. You know?
Well, it can be anything that really, I guess, makes you trance out for a little while and really, I don't know, gives your mind a little bit of a vacation. You know, you really don't have to think a whole lot.
Yeah, there's something I read on the internet recently that as soon as someone starts watching television, their brain pattern changes.
Oh, really?
And it mimics a trance. It's pretty much you're in a trance if you're watching TV.
Right.
So and you've all had the situation where you're not that interested in what's on, but you don't want to get up.
Right. Right. Well, that's called laziness too, I think. But yeah, that does happen. I mean, once you just start watching, you're content to just stay there and watch. You know, mm-hmm. just kind of your mind is on vacation.
Yeah, pretty much.
Right. Now, how old was your granddaughter when you hypnotized her that got you started in this?
Let's see. She's 12 now. She would have been, what, 6 or 7?
Mm-hmm. And what did she discover on her trip?
She, first I asked her, did you want to do a past life? And she said, yeah. So the first image she got was she was a baby in a basket in, she said it looked like Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
And there was an earthquake going on. Buildings were falling down. And she said somebody snatched the basket and, like, rescued her. And I guess she lost her family, but, you know. And she wound up, went through this whole lifetime until she died in a castle somewhere in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
Victim of the, she witnessed a king killing his own son. Or it was one of these situations where the son was the heir to the throne. The guy didn't want to, you know, maybe it wasn't his son or whatever, but he murdered this, and she saw it.
Mm-hmm.
And the king arranged for her to be executed because of it.
Mm-hmm.
So it was, you know, traumatic kind of death.
Right. Now, did she understand the concept of reincarnation when you approached her with this?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, my family, we talk about it. You know?
Oh, okay. Yeah. It's common then.
Well, you know, in my family, yeah.
Yeah, right. Well, some families anyway.
Yeah.
Now, I know you do an interesting version of hypnotism. You actually take a person, is it down a stream, and you see what they connect with as far as animal spirits go?
Yeah, this mimics the shamanic journey. You can read about this on the internet. Ingerman is a good source.
Uh-huh.
What the shaman does is enters the spirit world by himself, and a lot of times will travel down a stream and find an animal spirit for a client or someone who needs it.
Mm-hmm.
In a shamanic setting, it's usually a tribe member, you know, a relative. So he would identify the proper animal spirit. It would come and find him. Mm-hmm. Well, might get in the boat with him as he goes down the stream or start talking to him. And then he captures the spirit and brings it back into our world and blows it into the client's body.
Mm-hmm.
Into the heart
right.
area.
How does he capture it?
Well, the anthropologists and archaeologists find these devices that are like a tube.
Mm-hmm.
They have sometimes fangs on both ends and carvings. They might be made out of ivory or bone or clay or whatever, but they're called spirit catchers. And the shamans, I guess all over the world, use these things to capture spirits and retrieve them and bring them back to our world.
Mm-hmm.
And I probably use them the other way around too, to capture spirits and take them out of our world.
Right.
Although I haven't read about that.
Right. So what do you do when you start with a person? You get them to relax. How do you do that? Do you suggest that they're floating down a river? Or
first thing you do is you induce a standard hypnotic trance,
mm-hmm.
which, you know, everybody's seen as portrayed, and it's illegal in this state to do it on the radio. But,
that could be good, although I do sound like I'm in a trance sometimes.
You use imagery like the golden light, and you're relaxing, and you know, that kind of thing, and until you can tell by their breathing, they've settled into a real relaxed and focused state. And then you do a deepener, which deepens the trance. And then I bring up the imagery of finding the water source in your boat. And everybody has their own boat, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
And you go into the stream, and the stream takes you along. Now, it's a metaphor.
Mm-hmm.
But to the client in trance, who's experiencing it, it's not a metaphor. It's real. Or it's what their experience is at the moment. And they go down the middle of the stream, and you could even theorize that the left bank would be one side of the brain and the right bank of the stream would be the other side. And the stream is a stream of consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
And so on the hypnotic journey, they're going down the river, down the stream, and they state their intent, and their intent is to solve a problem. If it's quit smoking, lose weight, cure their diabetes, become healthier, or mend a relationship, that's the intent of the journey. And they look for a helper to help them with the journey. And I have them sometimes say it out loud, because it's important to set that intent. Mm-hmm. And once
you mean they say what they're trying to solve,
they say what they're
out loud,
the intent of their journey is.
And, okay.
They don't have to say it to me, but to say it to their environment. And the environment mm-hmm. responds by producing an animal spirit to guide the journey.
Mm-hmm.
Could be, I've had all different deer, you know, snakes, raccoons, birds, eagles, hawks, yeah, wolves, mm-hmm. you know.
Right. Anything really exotic, say lions or whales or anything like
lions,
that?
Whales, no, not so far. Fish and koala bear once.
Mm-hmm. Now, when they're going down the stream, do they see different animals, and whatever animal speaks to them, that's the one that is supposed to guide them?
A lot of times it will take some work to produce the right spirit for the journey. And they'll see a deer, and the deer will say, keep going. Mm-hmm. Or they'll see a bear, but it's off in the meadow, won't talk to him. And they'll keep going downstream, farther, farther. And finally, an animal spirit will either start talking to them or actually get right in their boat, which is an indication that that's the energy they're looking for.
Mm-hmm. So that's how they know?
Well, that's how I know.
Oh, okay.
Then I say, ask them. Ask this animal spirit if it's the right one for this journey. And it'll say, you know, most of the time it'll say yes. Once it gets into the boat, it's going to say yes pretty much.
Mm-hmm. And I just want to remind everybody that you are listening to WHFR.FM, the station making waves. This show is Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway. My guest today is Bill McGettigan, and he is a shamanic hypnotist. And now, do people have preconceived ideas of what animals they want to become, or is it something that they just develop and it just hits them as they go down the stream of consciousness?
Well, they might have preconceived ideas, and they might be accurate mm-hmm. or not, but the test is if they get that imagery going, they see here, they see the animal in front of them, the animal interacts with them. That's the real sign that that's the energy, that you're getting the right hookup for them.
Mm-hmm.
One guy, he's going down the stream. He had a flat bottom boat. He's looking for an animal, examining the banks. He's looking at the sky overhead underneath the water. He said, I see a horse, he says. Well, it has to be a wild animal, because you're looking for nature's energy, uncorrupted, mm-hmm. you know. So I said, well, is it a wild horse? And he said, well, it looks kind of unkempt. And you know, I said, well, see if the horse wants to get in the boat with you. So he said, all right. He said, the horse is in the boat. And then he said, he's going down the stream with it. He's got this huge horse sitting in front of him in the boat. And he says, wait a minute. There's a bird. It's an owl. He said, there's an owl flying around. He starts laughing. And I said, what is it? Is the owl talking to you? What? He said, the owl said, hey, what are you?
Really?
So it was the owl introducing himself, and that guided the journey. And the owl was using humor through the whole thing, but it was an incredibly powerful journey.
Right. And what did it teach that gentleman?
Well, he went through at least one past life traumatic death scene. Where he was in the Western United States, probably 1840s, 1850s era.
Mm-hmm.
Saddle bum, cowhand. He had a rough life. He witnessed murders, you know, trail life, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Finally died in a, fell into a canyon, broke his leg. Spent several days, he was almost on his last breath, and some woman rescued him, pulled him out of the canyon, took him home, nursed him, and he still died.
Mm-hmm.
So, and to him, this is very meaningful. It was, mm-hmm. you know,
so that helped him during this lifetime?
Well,
Or he was just curious about past life regression.
Yeah, he was curious about past life regression and the whole hypnosis thing.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So people do come to you, they want to, like you said, maybe solve a relationship they're having right now, problems with their significant other, things like that?
That's a really powerful aspect of the shamanic journey. People who come for, say, prosperity, their life just doesn't seem to be working financially. A lot of times, or most of the time, it's a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
One guy came to me for prosperity. It turned out the relationship that was screwing up his financial life, according to the shamanic journey, his father died when he was a youngster, and he didn't. They were a farm. They lived on a farm. The father came in late at night. And since farm work, you have to go in and out a lot, you might be, you get a half an hour break, you come in, you rest up. Didn't change clothes, he just sat in the living room and went to sleep. And this was common. Well, the young guy came in and walked right by him, went to bed, but he was dead. So he didn't wake up, and it would, this bothered this person for years and years, carried this around with him. And in doing this journey, looking for prosperity, here's their father. Comes right in front of them. There's a relationship technique you do that where you visualize the energy moving between the two sides of the relationship is being in pipes or tubes.
Mm-hmm.
And people can see the energy coming out of their body and going towards the other person, and they can see the energy coming from the other person and going towards their body. And the energy that comes from the other person and arrives at your body is red, and the energy that leaves your body and connects with the other person is blue. So you've got these red and blue things. And if the relationship's screwed up, the pipes or tubes will be corroded or black or twisted or, we'll be trying to dominate one another. You straighten them out, make that energy flow back and forth, and they can feel it. Those tears will come. They'll start, energy will be surging between these two people. They'll clear up all the misunderstandings between them. You have them exchange places and actually put themselves in the other person's eyes and watch themselves from the other side of the relationship and clear up any misunderstandings that way. And you kind of cure the relationship. And that's what we did.
Right. Now, does this work between two living people, or can it be somebody that's still alive and maybe somebody that's passed
on? In this case, the young guy's father was dead. And, he appeared, in the shamanic journey as a living person, just like he was, in life, and cleared the energy up, spoke to each other, cleared up this whole misunderstanding. And then it's interesting because, you say goodbye and you disconnect these tubes because the person's no longer on the earth. And as they're saying goodbye, I see this guy smile. And what? I said, what happened? He said, he opened that door and went back where he came from, and I saw a rainbow.
Yeah. So he knew he was in a better place.
Got a real emotional satisfaction out of reconnecting with the father and then saying goodbye.
Mm-hmm. So it became a type of joyful experience for this gentleman?
Well, like I said, maybe there was some joy in it, of course, and mm-hmm. Real joy in clearing things up.
Right.
But a real satisfaction, too, of finally getting rid of this burden.
Mm-hmm. Now, is there any meaning, the fact that it's red and blue, these energy colors?
I've thought about that. And if you think of it in terms of wavelengths, and when a wavelength is moving away from you, it gets longer. And when it's moving towards you, it gets shorter, so that's like the Doppler effect.
Mm-hmm.
And you can hear it was like a freight train with a sound, going by. As it's coming towards you, the sound's higher, and as it goes away, it's lower. So if the energy is red when it comes towards you, that's a shorter wavelength. And if it's moving away from you and it's blue, that's longer. Well, I might be wrong about the physics, but that's how I
interpret it.
That's how I see it. Yeah.
Right. So it's almost like the yin and yang type effect?
Yeah.
The opposites.
But power force. They're paired, but they're opposites.
Right.
But they're you can't have one without the other.
Right.
So that would be connected. Yeah.
So that can work though too with two living people, right?
Absolutely.
Maybe one person's not really into being, you know, entranced to find these things out, but that would help the partner in the relationship when they go back to that person, right?
Exactly, exactly. And I've seen this, where I learned it in a demonstration, and the person who was showing us this technique wanted to volunteer. Got a woman from the audience who hadn't talked to her mother in quite a while. They had a big disagreement, and went through the process, straightened out the relationship, and, you know, the tears, the joy, the happiness, and plus being relieved of the burden. And then what the demonstrator was a psychiatrist, she said that don't be surprised if your mother calls you, because they can feel the energy as well as you. It's it's real. That energy, electromagnetism, or whatever you want to call it, is you're manipulating and moving things around that are part of not only your environment, but the other person's too.
And this is WHFR.FM, the station making waves. You're listening to Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway, and today my special guest is Bill McGettigan, and he is a shamanic hypnotist. And we're discussing things about hypnotism and past life regression, things like that. Now, what kind of boats do people choose? Is that something that adds to the journey?
Well, it's just like a real expression of their personality. One guy who was a great big guy, 6'7". I mean, you know, and he's a big, big guy and doesn't like things like rickety boats. He took a flat bottom boat because to him it felt solid and comfortable.
Right.
And then people will decorate them. They'll see the colors, you know.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Do they take big yachts? I mean, do they really live it up? No,
usually
nothing elaborate.
It's small because, especially for the first journey, after you do an introduction, you do a deepener, then I'll have them go down a hill and look for this creek. I say a source of water. There's got to be one somewhere, and find it. It might be small, and then you follow it until it gets bigger. And so the boat appropriately fits in the stream. So
right.
Usually it's a canoe.
Oh, okay. But what if somebody doesn't like the water? Is that something that's difficult to work with?
That would present a problem, but there's ways around it, because as long as you're out there and experiencing this hypnotic environment, you know, you're outside, it's your favorite time of year, and you start interacting, you state your intent, your environment's going to respond with a helper.
And they respond to that then?
Well, it works, yeah. Like the other thing about I had a woman who you know, wasn't really that fond of boats or water,
right?
But she got into that environment thing. She could see it was favorite time of year, and she's outside really enjoying it. I told her, well, just look around and see if you can identify any missing pieces of yourself. And right away she said, my left arm, my mother has it.
Okay. Yeah.
So, you know, there we go. And this is a common shamanic practice too, to retrieve missing pieces of a person. They've lost in the spirit world, so the shaman goes to the spirit world, finds them, and brings them back. This woman identified her left arm was in the spirit world, and all I had to do was run the relationship technique with her mother and solve that, cure that energy. And I said, is your mother willing to give that back? And she said yes. And I said, okay, I'll blow the left arm into you, like just like you do with the animal spirit, blow it into the heart chakra. I always say the heart chakra, but I go a little bit higher for delicacy reasons. I read about the breastbone. You actually use my own breath and blow right in there, and she responded like crazy. She said she was just tingling, and then that was all the hypnosis she needed. You know, it was a quick thing.
Well, what is the significance of the fact that she was missing her left arm?
Well, that would represent your intuitive side.
Uh-huh.
And it could, now I don't know what, you know, why her mother stole her left arm or what this meant to her or her mother. We didn't really go into that. But it could be, you know, toilet training, masturbation, something like that. Who knows?
Right.
It's only speculation on my part, and it's really not that important.
Right. The fact is, she felt her left arm was missing and she wanted it back.
And it seemed to make a great big difference to her, mm-hmm. which it would if you have the energetic or spiritual idea that you're missing an arm.
Right. Yeah. Now, was her mother still alive? And
No, she wasn't.
Oh, okay. But that did help her.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Now, the woman that said she could expect a call from her mother, did she actually get one? Do you know?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. But among hypnotists, that's the way we look at it. We understand that, that energy is real and people are really manipulating things and you might get a real response from a real relative. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't be uncommon.
Right.
Yeah.
Even though you don't expect it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Now, when people come to you and they maybe go into trance on several different occasions, do they always pick the same animal or
no.
can it be a different animal?
It can be the same or it can be different.
Mm-hmm.
I think it depends on the intent of the journey.
Mm-hmm.
You probably get different energy if you want to quit smoking or if lose weight or whatever or if you just want to explore your past life. So that could be, you might need a different kind of help. And of course, different animal spirits have different kind of traits.
Right. So if you pick one animal, it might represent intelligence or perhaps courage, something like that.
Absolutely. But you don't pick it. It picks you.
Right. You're right. Again, you may go in thinking, okay, I want to be a lion or something,
and
whatever it is you want to be.
It's generally, you don't turn into the animal spirit, although that does happen.
Mm-hmm.
Especially, I've worked with feathers. The shaman can use, say, an eagle feather and mm-hmm. put it on the heart chakra and blow through it using his breath again. And depending on if you use the front or the back of the feather, different things happen. If you use the front of the feather, I've done this in hypnosis, and the client turned into an eagle.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I feel like I'm an eagle. He said, it's actually shifted, like his shape changed, and he could fly. You use the other side of the feather, they see an intense white light.
And where was that coming from? Was that
it came from the feather.
Uh-huh.
I don't know how this works or why, but that's what they get.
Right.
And I've used an osprey's feather, too, and the same thing happened. They're related birds or raptors, and they're renowned for being able to see long distances and flying high.
Right.
And being masters of their environment, too.
Mm-hmm. So once you set this in motion, you have no control on what animal a person picks?
I don't. I don't have any control at all.
Mm-hmm.
Subconsciously, you could argue that the animal is part of the client. That, if looking at it from our Western perspective, well, psychologically, you'd say that whatever they produce in trance belongs to them.
Mm-hmm.
So that's an aspect of their own personality. It may be true, maybe not. I don't know. But
right.
I do know that it works.
Right. Well, that's the bottom line. Now, have you ever done it to yourself? Or have you had somebody do it to you?
No,
taking
I haven't.
A trance, no?
No, because I don't know anybody else who does this. I'd be happy to train somebody, and it wouldn't take long either. I think this should be taught in kindergarten, and every mother ought to know it.
Mm-hmm. Just for helping to grow their children?
Exactly. It makes people healthy and happy,
mm-hmm.
and solves problems that you'd consider really difficult or insoluble.
Right.
Yeah.
And the sooner you get to these problems, the better off a person
is. I think so. And the problems could be coming from, say, a past life. And a lot of times the power animal spirit will identify a past life or maybe three or four in a row on the same journey, which I mm-hmm. would have no clue. I mean, to direct somebody to go to 1751, how would I know?
Right.
I don't have a clue. But the animal spirit knows exactly where to go.
Mm-hmm. And do they come up with exact dates and locations
if
and all
that?
If
you press them, yeah. Mm-hmm. And usually they'll know pretty closely what part of the world that they're in. And if you ask for a year, and the way hypnotism works, you can say you'll have a clear idea of exactly the year that you're in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. About 80% of the time, they'll come up with a number.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you take these people into trance, do you also make the suggestion that if they do meet a violent end, that they will not feel any pain, they will rise above it, anything like that?
No, it's called abreaction when somebody has a violent emotional problem with their hypnotic journey.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to distance them from that. I think if they're feeling that their emotions real hot, you know, and they're really, they're crying, they're, you know, they're not experiencing any physical problems. They're processing electromagnetic energy, and I think they need to do that. Mm-hmm. I think those tears are tears they'll never shed again.
Right.
That, and if you distance them from it, I don't know if they get that kind of, you can do physical healing, you know, and I want them to get what they're supposed to get. If the power animal said, you know, hey, stop it, I would, but it, you know, it doesn't seem to work that way.
Right. So as a cleansing thing, when they go through these emotions.
I think so. And a lot of times still, while they're processing these emotions and really, you know, freaking out, I mean, they're crying, whatever.
Right.
They'll see this, like, black thing. This one guy called it putty. Some people say it's like a black rock. Or they'll actually see a big rock. But it's a dense, heavy thing. And it represents negative energy that they've been carrying around with them.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go through the process. You know, they'll freak out. They'll go through this thing where they murdered their own children or whatever. And then they get through the other side of it. And I'll take a look at that thing again. Oh, it's smaller, or it's gone. And mm-hmm. I think that's the work you're doing, is getting rid of that.
Right, so that kind of releases the burden that they may be feeling, even though consciously they may not know it.
Right, they might have been carrying that energy around from lifetime to lifetime over centuries
mm-hmm.
and never got to confront it.
Right.
And process it.
So eventually that helps them in the current life to, I don't know, I guess, go beyond that and improve their lives?
Absolutely. They get healthier, they get happier.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes they even get physically healthier.
Mm-hmm.
Like that one woman, was a small little woman, was a barmaid and had broken her leg and was misdiagnosed. They sent her to physical therapy and had her exercising for 6 weeks with a broken leg. Developed arthritis and it was in her hands, leg, hips, everywhere. Went through the, she actually, I didn't even, this is before I did the shamanism, I just had her in trance and had her do some journeying in an outside environment that she was really receptive to, and walked away from her hypnosis, walked away from her arthritis,
mm-hmm.
and she said, now she only has a little bit in one joint in her little finger, mm-hmm. and the rest of her legs, her hips, she's okay.
Right.
And another person had a, I used crystals too. Crystals mm-hmm. are, I'm talking about rock crystal, quartz.
Mm-hmm.
It's common knowledge nowadays, they absorb and release electromagnetic energy. And shamans have traditionally used these things for healing. I had one guy, after he completed the journey, and he's just in this blissful state, I gave him a crystal to hold, and I said, now, just imagine any negativity leaving your body and going into the crystal. And I said, you can go as deep into trance as you need to in order to accomplish this in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And you could see him sink. I mean, just, his breathing went down, and he just completely focused, held that crystal up to his chest, and then woke right up. Pow! And I like to be the guy that wakes him up, but this guy just popped right out of it. And then he said something jumped out of him and jumped into the crystal. And I see him every once in a while, and he swears, he looks at the crystal and he says, see that spider web crack pattern? He said, I put that in there.
Mm-hmm. And just, I want to remind everybody right now that you're listening to WHFR.FM, the station making waves. This is the program called Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway. Today, my special guest is Bill McGettigan, and he is a shamanic hypnotist, and we're talking about many different things. Now,
and a local shamanic hypnotist.
Okay, yeah, well, we'll get to that. We'll get your information out there.
Oh, cool.
Now, when you actually do this with the crystals, is that really effective? I mean, you use different crystals for different people?
Well...
Or not necessarily.
Well, what happens is I've got a couple crystals, and you know they're $20 a pop or so.
Uh-huh.
So I don't have an extensive collection. I have a few,
right.
And I have a great big, well, it's probably 20 pounds of black quartz that my sister gave me that I use now for clients, and the smaller ones that I've used in the past, people get attached to them, so they feel like, you know, once it that it's theirs. Once they've interacted with it, they made friends with it. So they don't like to give them up, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, at that point, they have to get their own, right?
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
They're on their own.
Yeah.
Now, do people come to you many different times for different things? Maybe they want past life regression one time. Maybe they want, I don't know, advice on employment situations. Do you get that kind of thing nowadays?
Not too much. General prosperity, that's been one. And exploration, I've done quite a few of that, quite a bit of that. And, of course, physical problems. One thing, there's a book I'd like to plug. It's not mine. It's by Elliot Cowan, and it's called Plant Spirit Medicine. And this book really changed the way I look at and gave me that electromagnetic perspective on the whole thing. Elliot Cowan's an acupuncturist and an herbalist, and he studied with shaman. And the way shamans interact with plants is similar to the way they interact with animals, and they'll go into the spirit world and interact with a particular plant. Say it's clover. They'll find the spirit of clover and make friends with the spirit of clover.
Mm-hmm.
And then they can, returning to this world, if someone needs clover for their health or whatever reason, they can give them directly the spirit energy of it.
Mm-hmm.
Just because they've got that in their kit bag, they made friends with it. And so Elliot Cowan has done this all repeatedly and healed quite a few people with it. So after I got this information on how it worked, I'll have the animal spirit, I'll have the client ask the animal spirit if they need any herbs, if there's any medicinal plants they need. And most of the time, sometimes they'll say no, but most of the time they'll come up with one or two. It might be purple loosestrife or willow, or mm-hmm. Who knows. But I'll have the client talk to the animal spirit, ask to be introduced to the spirit of the plant, make friends with the spirit of the plant, and I'll say, now ask the plant spirit to give you the plant energy directly, and as an electromagnetic transmission. And they'll sink into that deep trance, you do that deep breathing. My mother, who's 83, got parsley first time I tried this on her.
Mm-hmm.
And she did that deep breathing out of that trance, and you could see her cheeks got spots on them the size of maybe a silver dollar. It was bright red. She looked like a Cupid doll.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Did you get worried at all?
No, I wasn't worried at all. Okay, I really trust this process. And it's like, if you're out in the wilds and you meet a grizzly bear, well, it might eat you, But if you're in the spirit world and you meet a grizzly bear, it's a great stroke of luck.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really good thing. So
yeah. Why is that?
I don't know. I know how, but I don't know why.
Yeah. So can somebody maybe not even connect with an animal, but they connect with a plant instead?
That,
or is it in conjunction with the animals?
I use the animal spirit to identify what plants you need.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Animals are a little higher form of life.
Right.
And I don't know. That might be something I'll try in the future. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Now, when a person goes on a journey, are they speaking as they go along, out loud, or is it something they just keep it internal and they just know to themselves what they're experiencing?
Well, when they're my client and they're with me, I'm watching them intently, and I'm tuned into the depth of their breathing, and even their facial expressions will change, even though their eyes are closed most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And you get, they're communicating with their environment in the hypnotic journey, or you could say with themselves, if they pop into a past lifetime, you'll see this shift happen, where their head will like move to one side or the other, and facial expression changes. It's almost like they're donning the mask of the identity that they're investigating in this prior lifetime.
Mm-hmm. Now, does anybody ever channel higher spirits when they're in trance? Outside of the animal and outside of themselves?
That's a good question. I think personally, if you wanted to look for that, you'd probably find it. But I don't know if that stuff is trustworthy.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've heard of it happening in other cases. I just wondered if it happened with you at all.
It hasn't happened to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't go looking for it.
Mm-hmm. Well, usually that kind of thing is just spontaneous. I mean, it's nothing that they really plan. It just happens, and all of a sudden these voices or whatever come to them, and they have to, you know, let that out and speak about
it. Right, right. But then, you know, well, I got to bring up Billy Meyer. And he's kind of, you know, I've been investigating this esoteric, spiritual, religious stuff damn near my whole life. Currently, it's the highest source of information I found, and he says that stuff isn't real.
Really?
Yeah.
So he doesn't believe in the higher spirits speaking through people?
Well, right.
Mm-hmm.
And
he thinks it's just somebody's imagination?
Well,
possibly.
It's, you're kind of courting delusions. And I've heard things like, there's a guy who I read extensively when I was a teenager named Lobsang Rampa. And he wrote a series of books back in the 50s and 60s. And he stated repeatedly that if anybody says they're channeling me, they're not. He said, when I'm gone, I'm gone. And then, of course, I ran into somebody who said, oh, yeah, they're going to channel Lobsang Rampa. Well, you know, they might, you know, who knows? But, I mean, can you really, you know, trust the information?
Right. You can't really prove it. I mean, you just have to.
I mean, it might be entertainment.
Except
but, I mean,
for what it is.
Yeah, right.
You know, I mean, it's hard to prove anything, really. I mean, some of these past life experiences, I mean, that's what the people are seeing and they're feeling. But when it gets down to it, you can't really verify it.
Well,
you know, there's no scientific way to do that.
Well, there is.
I mean, how do you do that?
Theoretically. Now, I'm not saying, you know, my clients, they go through these things, they get healing out of it. So that's, to me, that's verification.
Mm-hmm.
I don't, it's not really important to do it in the, what we call a real world, to me.
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, things like Bridie Murphy. Bridie Murphy, you've probably heard of that.
Right.
It was a book, what was it, 1948, somewhere around there?
Yeah, it's been a while.
And that was really, in our Western world, one of the first run-ins we had with reincarnation. And
right.
The guy did research and found out there was somebody named Bridie Murphy and that seemed to fit the pattern. And if you do an internet search, you can find videos. I've seen, you know, children in Scotland who swore that they had a prior life on this island off the coast of Glasgow. And by God, they went there and things are pretty much the way they described them, even down to the families and people that had lived there that had died.
Right. Well, I've also heard of cases where people have said they've been in certain boat wrecks or whatever, and they've gone back and they've checked the records for that name, and they have found that name. Maybe it was off by a year or two,
right.
But I mean, you know, pretty close and pretty right on. So, I mean, you have to, I guess, believe it to a certain degree because there's proof. It's written down.
Well, yeah, and you said the big word, and that's believe. And, you know, that's, we're talking about that area that, well, your highest conception of how the spirit world works, you know, that, and that's your belief system. So, yeah, you have to work with whatever the client has in that area. But I have my own, and pretty much the channeling stuff I kind of disregard.
Mm-hmm. Is that works for you then? I mean, just ignore it or what?
Well, yeah, it does. I mean, like I said, I haven't had a client do it. If that happened, I'd have to figure out what it meant to the client, and you know, what it means to me.
Right.
But on a theoretical basis, I haven't really, just kind of more or less ignoring it doesn't really present any problems.
Mm-hmm. Right. And you're listening to WHFR.FM, the station making waves. This show is called Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway. My guest today is Bill McGettigan, and he is a shamanic hypnotist. And I think one of the things that everybody feels that they do this hypnotism is they really like the fact they're able to help people. Do you feel like that?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, like I said, the woman walked away from her arthritis. I mean,
right.
I wish I could get my mom to do it, but...
Yeah, but she's not going to do that?
It's not predictable. Any journey, a miracle could happen.
Right.
You know? But you can't induce them when you want to.
Mm-hmm.
Although my mom gets healing every time I do it for her.
Right. Yeah. She feels a little bit better than the previous time.
Yeah.
Is that physically or just mentally?
Well, physically.
Physically? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, even though she might have arthritis or whatever, it gets a little bit better each time? And she can tell that, or whatever is bothering her?
Well, she feels more energetic, and more relaxed and more powerful. And you know, whatever herbs she gets seem to help her. She had a problem with her circulation in her head, was getting headaches. And she got clover for that. And it got the spirit of clover, and it cleared up that pain thing.
Mm-hmm.
But, you've got to deal with the idea of the disease thing. For whatever reason, some people won't give up those diseases, and some will.
Right.
I mean, and I don't know,
Some people just want to hang on to what they have, and it could be they're afraid of change. I don't know. Maybe, on a
spiritual level, they need it. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. So it's something they might have to work through this lifetime?
Possibly. Just a guess on my part.
Right. So sometimes when they get this information about whatever plant spirit works for them, they just know the amount to take that's going to work for them,
well,
those types of things?
You got to remember, we're dealing with a spiritual plant energy.
Right.
And they're getting that as a wavelength, like an electromagnetic connection with the actual spirit of the plant.
Right.
Well, I'm not administering or prescribing anything.
Right.
They actually come up with this themselves and
right.
Right,
you're just a guy. But what I'm saying is if they need,
like clover.
Right.
My mother got a bear recommended clover, said you need clover. So she got the electromagnetic clover energy. Then when she comes out of trance, I went down to the health food store and I got her a bottle of clover tincture. And in subsequent journeys, I had her ask the bear about should she be taking the tincture? And he says, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, so it's kind of like update, right? I mean, they have to keep up the medicine or whatever it is.
Or it might be a one-time only thing, or
right.
I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Now, this person with the arthritis, she didn't have to take anything. She just was cured?
Right.
Mm-hmm. So that does happen one time, and that's it?
I had her use a crystal to absorb the energy, that thing. And that seemed to, for her, work like a charm.
Mm-hmm. Now, do these crystals get charged up with so much energy they're no longer effective sometimes?
I haven't had that happen yet.
Mm-hmm.
And
yet?
Yet. And okay. If I did run into something like that, I would consult with the animal guide.
Mm-hmm.
And say, I'm going to use this crystal to, and ask the animal guide, is this going to be effective? Should I use a different one? Is this one going to work?
Mm-hmm. So when you ask these people in trance and you're talking to their spirit guide animal.
They're talking to the spirit.
They're talking to you, right. But you're asking them questions.
I'm saying ask your animal guide if you need this any plant energy. Ask your animal guide if you're done with this experience or we should go on farther if there's more to find out here.
Mm-hmm. And that goes with maybe whatever exercise they may need to help them, anything like that?
Well, I haven't had anybody actually get exercises.
Mm-hmm. But, I mean, anything that might help them in their journey, the animal spirit
is going to give them
that news.
Whatever their intent is for their journey, that animal spirit will make sure that they get what they need to accomplish that intention. And if it's better health or prosperity or whatever, it will bring them exactly the experiences they need to process their own energy in their environment to accomplish what they need to accomplish.
Mm-hmm. So in essence, the people know what it is that the animal is telling them and they can accept that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They don't doubt that at all?
Well, no, because and not everybody gets to talk to their animal spirit. Sometimes they'll say, well, they won't answer. I say, well, he said, well, he's looking at that hill. So I said, well, go up the hill. Or, he's giving you, like one guy got two fish. And, of course, fish are watery,
right.
Imaginative. They represent your imagination. Mm-hmm. And I would have him talk to the fish, and he'd say, well, they're not talking. I said, well, you'll know what they want. And then, well, they said, well, we should go this way, It's sometimes they just know instead of, actually right. have the experience of talking.
So it's something they feel, not necessarily receive verbally or...
Could be.
Through words.
And sometimes it's verbal and sometimes it isn't.
Mm-hmm. And when people do feel that they have to follow their animal guide up a hill or whatever, they find whatever it is they need, that's just part of the journey?
Yeah. A lot of times, a situation like that is a past life.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm at the top of the hill. Okay, what do you see? Are there any indication of humans? You see any dwellings, fires, fire pits, cooking? Oh, yeah. Look at your feet. That's another thing. Mm-hmm. You always have them, if they're, it seems like they're going into that past life, they'll look at their feet. Oh, I've got moccasins on.
Right.
Yeah, it happens a lot.
Right. Well, that's always one of the first things that everybody goes through trance. They ask that person what is on their feet and look at the ground. And you can determine, like, get a hint of where you are, whether it be desert, like you said, moccasins, that kind of time frame, what kind of spirit, I mean,
get
whatever
a lot of information.
Country you're in.
Right. And, of course, your feet are your understanding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. Symbolically, yes.
Yep.
But that's interesting. What is the most exotic animal, would you say, that somebody has used on a journey?
Probably a koala.
Koala? Yeah, that is a little odd.
And that was a 12-year-old girl who wanted to write a song.
Mm-hmm.
The koala bear took her to Sydney, Australia, and she watched an opera in the Sydney Opera House.
Mm-hmm.
And then it took her to New York, and she watched a dance band in a recording studio. And then it took her to Los Angeles and into a recording studio, and she saw herself singing a song. And I told her to stay in trance and write that song down.
Mm-hmm.
And then she did, and then I had her sing some of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I gave you the recording of her singing.
Right, I heard that. It was very interesting. It seemed to make sense, too. Now, was that present day? I mean, when she was in Los Angeles and Sydney, I mean, that was a contemporary journey, not like 40 years ago or 50 years ago, anything like that, right?
Yeah, it was contemporary with the time we did the journey.
Right. And she just came to you saying that she wants to write a song?
Well, she was a guitar student. I teach guitar, too.
Okay.
And so... But she was really interested in writing music, writing songs. So I said, you know, I could help you. If you want to write a song, we could do hypnotism with that intent. And it worked very well.
Mm-hmm. Has she done that, I mean, just again and again and again, or was it just the one time?
It was for the songwriting just once. She's done subsequent hypnosis, but it wasn't for songwriting.
Mm-hmm. So that's interesting. I mean, can you get people to write poems or stories that way?
Sure, if you wanted to. Mm-hmm. I haven't done it. But
right.
If there's any creative endeavor, I mean, I don't care if you want to do a brick wall. You could do a hypnosis journey to understand your creative process and produce this thing, whatever it is.
Right.
And if it's a song or a play or whatever, you'll get way more out of it than you would imagine.
Right. Yeah. Now, if somebody wanted to get in touch with you, how could they do so?
One thing I forgot. I did have one guy do poetry as a result of his hypnosis, and actually got published.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well,
right.
That's a good thing to know. You know, you might be getting calls for potential songwriters now. But
well, or bricklayers.
You're open, right?
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Well, I don't know. Should I say my phone number?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Okay.
Whatever
it's
you want to give.
Local 313 area code 584-4777. I'm in East Dearborn. I'm on the net as my email is jukeboy2@gmail.com, jukeboy2@gmail.com. And you can find me at billmcgettigan@wordpress.com.
Okay.
On my blog.
Generally speaking, how much does one session cost?
I'm working pretty cheap right now.
Really?
Yeah, I am.
Okay.
And I kind of, you know, the way I look at it, your hypnosis shouldn't cost more than, say, 2-3 haircuts, you know?
I like that philosophy because sometimes it does get kind of pricey.
Yeah, I paid for it myself. And although, you know, I got my money's worth, I have to admit, it was not the $30 I charge.
Uh-huh. Right.
For an hour session, and I'll stick with you until you're over. I've had sessions go longer than an hour.
Really?
Yeah, and some people need that.
Right. especially once they're really, you can't just cut it off in the middle. I mean, they have to complete the journey.
Well, right? After an hour and a half or so, I have cut them off.
You look at the time and say, okay, that's it. We're out of here. You know? Right.
They're having a great time, and I'm going, whoa.
You know? Yeah, and you just got to wrap it up. Just like we do right now, and I want to thank you, Bill, for being a guest here on Metaphysically Speaking. It was very interesting. Thank you very much.
My pleasure, Mike. Thanks a lot.
Well, that's going to do it for another edition of Metaphysically Speaking. Once again, I want to thank my guest, Bill McGettigan, for being here. Very interesting. If anybody wants to take that trance, that journey, definitely give him a call. I'm sure it would be very, very interesting. And once again, our new time will be the third Tuesday of the month now at 1 p.m. to 2 p.m. And it's a big change, but it's something that, well, we'll see how it works, but should be interesting nonetheless. And be sure to come back next month for another edition of Metaphysically Speaking that will be on the 20th of October. So I just want to say thank you very much for listening to today's show, and have a great day.
Lottery drawing, and today's winning numbers are not yours, not yours, and another number that's not yours, and the final number is not yours.
When it comes to having money, don't rely on luck. Brew your own coffee at home instead of buying that latte. Brown bag it to work instead of ordering it. Go to feedthepig.org for more free ideas on how to save.
feedthepig.org.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
Ow, ow, ow! Hey, guys and gals, this is your rock and blues pal, Go Mike Holloway. Are you going through some bad times? Well, check out the Go at the Flow Mike Holloway show every Tuesday afternoon, 4 p.m. to 6 p.m., where we let the good times roll to satisfy your soul. Only on WHFR.FM, the station making waves. Woo-wee!
Thank you for listening to the WHFR Forum, our own locally produced, locally hosted talk shows on a variety of important issues we don't think you're going to find anywhere else on Detroit radio. If you'd like to listen to this or other forum programs, you can get them as a podcast from WHFR.fm. Click on the forum button and the appropriate date. If you have any comments or questions about our talk show programming, you can email them to us, whfr@hfcc.edu. And if you'd like to listen to a live WHFR Journal local news and alternative views each week. We feature that on Fridays from 1 to 2 p.m., hosted by yours truly, Jay Koronek, and other of our staff. That show, the new WHFR Journal, is also podcast for your listening pleasure anytime, day or night, from our website, whfr.fm. Click on Journal. Again, thank you for listening to Tuesday Talk. This is WHFR Dearborn from the station Making Waves.
As a dad, you'll probably spend years teaching your son how to hit a baseball, how to throw a tight spiral and hit a receiver, how to hit the strike zone. But the question is this: how much time will you spend teaching him what not to hit? Teach your son early and often that all violence against women is wrong. For tips on what to say, visit endabuse.org. Brought to you by the Family Violence Prevention Fund, the Waite Institute for Violence Prevention, the Ad Council, and this station.
The HFCC Community Service Club is always looking for new faces. The Community Service Club is a great way to help out your community, and also it can help you out with a scholarship application. Meetings are held twice monthly in the Student Center building. To find out how you can get involved, contact Deborah Alcamano at 313-317-6672. That's 313-317-6672.
This is Garrett from the Mean Reds, and you're listening to WHFR Dearborn.
89.3 WHFR.FM, the station making waves. It is Tuesday at 2 p.m., and you are listening to One Chord to Another with me, your host, Jeff. Thanks so much for joining me. Lots of great music to get to today, so let's get right down to it. Here is Ill-Placed Trust by Sloan on the station making waves, WHFR.FM.